Good evening, and welcome to the Kerry O'Connor Show, the talk show with internationally known master visionary, profound psychic, and modern-day oracle, Kerry O'Connor. I'm your co-host, Dave Turco. Our show focuses on self-empowerment and reclaiming your divine heritage. We're here for you during these times of accelerated change on the planet to offer guidance and inspiration. It's what we love to do, and we'll welcome you to join us as this is a call-in show. And the beauty of having a reading with Kerry is you can ask any questions you want, but we do encourage you to be specific. Our number here is 1-877-876-5227. That's in the U.S. In the U.S. and Canada, that's 1-888-815-9756. And for everybody else, the direct line is 1-530-876-3222. That's worldwide. Hi, Kerry. Evening. How are you?
Hi, David. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing very well. And I want to give a big welcome to all our listeners to BBS Talk Radio. It's great to have you with us. And I was thinking, Kerry, before I started tonight, to go over a few topics, up-and-coming events, before we take calls and go to our nightly topic, if that's okay with you. And first and foremost, about up-and-coming events, I always want you to go to Kerry's webpage, that's kerryoconnor.com, for all the information. And please sign up for the free newsletter and get on the emailing list, because once you do, you get all the updates automatically by constant contact. You don't have to do anything. It'll just come up on your emails. So that's a great thing. Kerry has Lightstream Live events, and I hope you all get to be familiar with those, because they're absolutely fabulous events. Those are gallery-style readings that Kerry does, and she intuitively reads the audience members while being guided by the spirit world. And the next one coming up is Friday, October 17th, in Bloomfield, Connecticut, at the Enlightened Professional Center. That's near Hartford, Connecticut. So if you're in the area at all, I want you to be there. It's from 7 to 9 p.m. All the information you can, again, get off of Kerry's website, or contact her office at 1-860-887-1201. I want to mention, Kerry has a wonderful thing going on. It's called the Intuitive Development Circle. Those are Monday evenings, 8 to 9:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. That's Monday evenings, 8 to 9:30 p.m. Those give you a forum where you can practice opening and developing your intuition from the comfort of your own home. Each week in the group teleclass, Kerry gives tips and tools on intuition, as well as homework for the week and an attunement to help you open up your third eye. Those are done in monthly cycles. And coming up very quickly is the Mind Body Spirit Expo, October 24th to the 26th. That's going to be at the Valley Forge Convention Center, suburb of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. And so that's the big East Coast Expo. It's really big. Lots of people are going to be there, including Kerry. And what's so great is Kerry's not only going to be giving readings there. You can sign up for Kerry's reading by emailing her office, but she's going to be speaking on Friday evening of that weekend, so that's going to be fabulous. And that's a big, like I said, that's a big one. Lots of famous people there as well as Kerry, so that's neat to go to. There's going to be a teleclass Sunday, November 2nd, and it's going to be called What the Bleep Happened to the Secret? And it's really the essence of manifestation and co-creation. And if What the Bleep or the Secret didn't completely work for you, you'll find out why in this teleclass, as Kerry will talk about all the different aspects of manifestation. One last thing I want to get to Kerry that's in the works coming up in November, probably the second Tuesday in November, because we'll probably skip over the election night. And that's going to be a teleclass that Kerry's going to be giving from 8 to 30 to 9:30 p.m., those will be weekly, where Kerry will be going over topics, one topic a week. And we'll be telling you more about that as the time approaches.
And we decided that it's going to be questions and answers, so we welcome in any kind of questions that you have. As far as a person was talking about something in Whirlpooja that I was talking about, the 10-10-10 energy, and they didn't quite get it, that the 10-10-10 is a master number, so when you see a lot of 10s, that's a sign of mastery. So any kind of question that you're wondering about, and it's not intuitive questions, like any kind of things that you're wondering about, the times, any kind of question, you email it in and we'll address it.
Right. Okay, so that's a very good
Yeah,
that's a great idea, actually.
Aura colors, color therapy, number
systems,
angels guides, any kind of questions that you could think of.
You know, I've got to email them over to you because a lot of times I get some of the questions emailed to me, and some people have lists of things that they want talked about.
Perfect.
So that's a brilliant idea, actually.
Yeah.
So that you can, the topic will, pardon me?
We'll take a topic a week, excuse me, and it's a free teleclass, so all you have to do is sign on in, listen on in. It will be taped, so you could listen if you're not available that night to listen to it. It'll be up for that week, and so you could listen to the talk. So,
yeah,
we're doing.
Yeah, and like I say, the reason I love it so much is because we do so many of these shows, and we are really used to the language that we speak. It's almost like learning a little bit of a third language here, or a second language, where we talk about archetypes, and we talk about animal medicine, and we talk about colors, and we talk about different dimensional things, and elevators, and whatnot. And we know what we're talking about, and I know most of our listeners know what we're talking about, but not everybody necessarily. And it would be great to just delve into things like, what are the sacred numbers, what's numerology, what do they mean, sacred geometry, all these sorts of things. There's just tons of it out there. And it's all part of the symbolism that's so rich in our multidimensional world that we tend to overlook so many things that are right in front of us that happen to us on a daily basis. And I think that's a great way, you know, it makes it very interactive as opposed to just a plain old, not to say that it's a plain old teaching, but, you know, what people want for that moment. And, Carrie, would you like to go to the lines here?
Yes, indeed.
Okay, that's what we shall do. And we are going to welcome Sylvia from Minnesota. That's our friend Sylvia now. We'll call her our Minnesota correspondent, Sylvia. Hi, Sylvia. Welcome to the Carrie O'Connor Show on BBS.
Hi, Dave. Hi, Carrie. You know, it's kind of funny because, you know, I read your email, Carrie, and you said you were going to talk about sacred contracts, soul contracts tonight.
Yeah.
And it's like my two daughters, it's the oldest girl, Janae, and the youngest girl, Amanda, and then Amanda's fiancé, Phil. It's like there's always something sparking off in that relationship. And it was like I just wondered if you could see anything with them. Did they bring this in from somewhere else that they have to always be on each other's case all the time?
As far as your two daughters?
Yes.
Yes. I'm seeing that. Think of when I see a yin-yang sign, it could go both ways. Me and my sister have that, and so we look different. I'm tall and had light hair. She's shorter. She had dark curly hair, and she's all fiery. I have all water, and even our elements are down to being... I have a lot of water in my astrological sign. She's got a lot of fire. And so what that does, and I'm seeing the same thing with your daughters, and so what that does, it can draw you together. So there's a part of the yin-yang means that there's gifts to give each other. But also, if you're not feeling in the gift-given mood, that there's a charge there that's like a past life hangover, that they absolutely came in here with the contract to be able to get that charge so they can see what they are, the gifts that they're giving each other, Sylvia, to so they could reach balance. Even think of it, it's like part of their no mistakes that when there's a charge and you're saying a perfect word as far as a charge, does it always have to be charged? Absolutely not. That's part of why they chose each other for us as siblings. And so think of when a yin-yang relationship is off-balanced, then it's like mirror, mirror on the wall. And so it's like the person looks like it's like what you don't want to look at in yourself. It's like you push that person's energy away versus embracing it and seeing what can I have as far as how can I learn a balance to how to balance this relationship? How can I take the gifts from it? And it doesn't mean that we have to be singing kumbaya the whole time and everyone be getting along. And sometimes me and my sister just reached a point that we agree to disagree on certain things. And so we just really started off with a very supportive thing. So think of having, because the girls are old enough to start really working on understanding that if they get this one underneath their belt as far as being charged and firing each other off, then other relationships that if we don't get it underneath their belt, Sylvia, what we'll do is just go out and mirror this and other kind of relationships, because that's part of our life lesson here. So one book that I really love is Greg Braden's book, as far as the Divine Matrix, and the last part of it he calls about the five sacred mirrors. And one of the five sacred mirrors, I mean, all the five sacred mirrors first starts with, you spot it, you got it. So let's say somebody drives you absolutely nuts. There could be something in that person that you have the same tendency, but you don't want to look into it yourself, that you have the same tendency. And let's say in the second mirror is that you don't have it in yourself. So let's say somebody is really jealous and they get really mad if somebody gets a supposed ahead of them, or that they seem to have the perfect house and this and that, and they get jealous. And so let's say they say, no, I'm not jealous. I really am happy for the other person. But then there could be a part where they judged it, that they, and if you hold judgment, then that's part of separation. The third thing is, Mira, is that thinking that we have something owed us, you owe me, and there's like a, that's what I'm seeing, that the mirrors that those girls have is something owed, and also they represent the worst nightmares. And so that's all the first word. The fourth mirror has to do with mirroring each other their worst nightmares. So think of them coming in charged, and because they have this this like a kind of opposite thing, you can flip it around and have it to be a really good relationship as far as friendships, understanding that they are giving each other gifts, in that it doesn't have to be where they push each other away. And so they could absolutely work on Sylvia directing their energy and just saying, let's do null and void in any direction of space of time where we were on the other side of the fence, where we were, we direct the energy to take off the charge, and anything that's not love. It's as simple as that. And so, and go directing the energy back into love, because again, if they don't, what they're going to find, and especially with these accelerated times, if we don't learn the lesson, we're just going to start collecting people that do similar things, and all of a sudden we have that our bosses have a similar charge that our sister does, or our friends, all of a sudden that we reach a point, and then all of a sudden the relationship goes into 3 or 4 months or years, and then all of a sudden it's the same theme. So it's a gift that they have it as sisters, that they could be mirroring this, and especially now is the time for us to remember that we're all aspects and pieces of each other. So if it goes back to that we're all a piece of Source, then their sisters are two aspects of Source that are looking at each other, and so, and they're just being expressed differently, and so their Source Creator expressing the way one daughter does, and Amanda's doing it the other way, and there's no right or wrong. It's a this and that, and so there's, so the more they could like lay the arms down and stop doing the arm wrestling thing, the more I'm seeing you being the peacemaker and the bridger, and also kind of pulling your hair out with this too, and having them step back. And I also hear the father saying, the grandfather, on your side, saying, their grandfather, your dad, coming and saying, like, stop it. It's like grow up. And so this is time to take action and be proactive and not reactive, because when they're being reactive, they're going down to their wounded child. We all have the wounded child aspect for us. So that's the key when we get into the sacred relationships and sacred contracts, understanding that we wrote in the parents, we wrote in our siblings, we wrote in our partners, we wrote the script here, guys, to be able to return to love. So when we realize that, it's an opportunity for us to direct our energy, and right now more than ever are we being called to return to love, because if it's not, simply put, if it's not love, it's fear, and fear could be anger or charged or whatever, but if it's not love, it's not our natural state. Our natural state is a piece of Source does not know anger, angst, separation, and so we're returning to that. So every time we put our energy into that fear ball, it activates that within our energy field, so we collect more of that in our energy field, or we could flip it around and start doing the love part. I also am seeing them having you, like, you stepping back, because I see that part of your energy as the bridger, Sylvia, it's like that your heart comes in there with a mirror and with a light, and part of you is trying to balance, like the Libra, trying to balance both sides, can see both sides, can understand both sides, but there's a part where it's like stepping back, and think of it as a sacred triangle. So you're on the top of the triangle and coming and holding that heart space, and think of them on the bottom of the triangle with a solid base, energetically looking at each other. Think them up, meaning thinking them Like if they try to get you involved, it directs them right to the love part, because again, if it's anger, fear, she this, she that, it's all of saying, I would really direct them to saying, okay, what does that reflect back to you? Or I'll say to my kids, if my daughter's saying this friend of hers is doing this and acting really jealous and doing that, and then I'll say to Taylor, well, wow, this week you've noticed a lot of jealous people. Where are you jealous in your life right now? Is there any places that you're feeling any kind of jealousy or that you're noticing jealousy? And sure enough, that she would say, well, yeah, I'm noticing that I'm pretty jealous of Dad's relationship with Shelley. And I said, okay, so now you're alert, and now you understand that this is a reflection of jealousy. So why don't we work on transmuting that? Because jealousy is not love, and so let's proactively, instead of reactively, work on our emotions as we are returning to our natural state of love. And so you at the top of the triangle is being able to reflect that to them, and that's talking to them by an energy that goes beyond words, because a lot of times words can get in the way. People get into, what about this? What about this? And this is, it's like current circumstances don't matter. Past circumstances don't matter. What matters is right now and what they're doing to direct their energy right now. And I'm also seeing that, that Amanda could take the lead as far as this, as far as, because I'm seeing Philip putting his right foot down, like, kind of either getting sick of it or just saying, I'm done with this, like bantering right back. I'm just seeing him putting a stamp in his right foot down. And so there's a part that it could snap Amanda out of the trance, because I see part of him go back into just being the child and doing the trance that they're so used to doing. I witnessed this at this funeral that I was with this week, that this one sister has this really edge thing toward a friend of mine that I was there, that's what I was there for the wake for. And I just saw the energy that, but she was flipping into not the adults where they're toward the end of their mid-40s. She was flipping down to the child part of her. So understanding that these are sacred relationships and sacred contracts that we absolutely chose. And so then it goes back to us as far as, we wrote this script in so we all could write more love into this, because again, yin-yang relationships can bring us the highest form of balance. My sister is one of my very best friends, if not she understands me so much because we really balance each other's energy field, so we don't have to talk to each other every day and be sitting there singing Kumbaya, but we really work with creating balance within our energy fields. We balance each other out, and so that's the kind of relationships we want to have around us. So think of you holding the reins of having them work it out. And again, I'm seeing Amanda get looking at Philip, because he's like snapped. I keep on hearing like snaps her out of the trance, and part of that trance is we get into the trance of fear, we get into the trance of just old behavior, and so when we realize that we're dropping into it, to pull ourselves out of it.
Well, Phil is most of the problem between them, because my oldest daughter does not care for Amanda's fiance because, well, it's just...
You know what it goes back to? What I just... Yeah,
got a past,
you know, what it
is. That's bringing into, you know, his childhood, he's bringing into these relationships. And
yep. And one of the biggest arts of allowing in the what the class I'm doing as far as the secret was one of seven spiritual laws. The other spiritual law that we're really learning to digest over the rest of this year in particular is called the law of allowing. And the art, the law of allowing, is allowing those around us to have their experiences regardless of what we think they should be doing or could be doing. We create these perfect picture scenarios in our head, and so when people don't fit up to them, then we get into the they could have, they should have, they would have. And when it comes into the highest form of it, there could be a part where we don't understand that these guys are working out a high contract here that is on an energetic level that it's really none of your daughter's business, you know. And so there's a part of really kind of like who dealt her a card in some aspect when it comes into as far as with Philip, because I see Philip, the one, is stamping his foot down. And again, let's say he's stamping his foot down because he becomes a child and he stamps his foot down. But I'm also seeing Amanda turning around, looking at him, and like I see her eyes popping off, like contact lens popping off her eyes. And those contacts are, do separation, and they do the fear, and they block the love. And so then she could look at Philip stamping his foot down, right, breaking her trance, her having like a moment where her heart opens up, her thymus opens up. She can hear the sister, but also going back to the sister, with the art of allowing, is allowing those that are the closest of us, as far as who are we to say about anybody's contract, you know what I mean, as far as even those that are close to us. Part of the highest form of unconditional love is Jesus did not throw away prostitutes or lepers or anybody. He held everybody in an unconditional love process. And so loving unconditional is what we're remembering, is what our natural state, and that's loving with what we could be perceived as flaws. And so the more we put energy into that, we come whole and we come flawless. And so the more we step into letting the process have that, letting people have that process, the art of allowing is, I remember reading some woman's example of having somebody sit across from you and that they're eating with their mouth full and that they're really, really loud and they're chomping their food and it's dropping out of their mouth and you're in a restaurant, and to be able to hold the space, not say anything to that individual, where we could be thinking, good God, I have to say something because first of all, it's grossing me out and I should really say something because the people, the patrons in the restaurant are getting grossed out. And so how about if that person is a, you know, just say that they're there to teach everyone and all around them compassion and to not notice that the person's open with their food mouth. That's how, if that's their job, that they eat with their food with their mouth open because that's their job, or that they have, I know some people, I know with myself, I can't close, I'm a mouth breather because of my deviated septum. So we have stuff that we might not know or understand. It goes back to unconditional love, the art of allowing, and that goes back to what they call in shamanism, moon eye, and it goes back into holding space. And that is allowing the people around us to have the process and have their lessons, or they're having their process, and having us not to get into you should do this, you could do this, because whenever we get into the should, it could have, would have, or you never do this, or you always, those are fighting words. Those get our back up. But the only thing that's constant is love. That is change is constant. What is it? What's next is that we are our natural state. And what's next is that we're in constant change. And so, so we're getting back to the original laws. So the more we get into, or spiritual laws, the way this, we're setting up to go back to our original blueprints. And the more we step into those, the more we are filled in that unconditional love space, then we won't notice the person that is doing their mouthful or that Phillip's behavior, because it goes back to, it's your daughter, Amanda's contract that she has with her boyfriend's fiance, Phillip. And so there's a part of what is the real underlying thing. And again, it goes back to, as far as everyone stepping back and going back to, if this is not love, it's fear. And so I am stepping into, and that's where I see you, Sylvia, going to the top of the triangle and holding the light in the mirror of just thinking of your pure heart soul signature that goes beyond anybody's of ego, of arm wrestling, of right or wrong. And so, and holding the tension, as far as when somebody could want to pull you in or say, listen to this, say, I'm on a diet of either love or fear. And so if it sounds like fear, it is fear, and I'm not feeding that fear, because right now we're being called to hold up our love, to go remember what unconditional love is about. And unconditional love is that. It is love unconditional. And that's what we're remembering, is love without conditions, is whatever the condition is that the people we could be think that they should be doing, is like we're stepping back and really holding space for the person as they are evolving themselves.
Great. Would your love triangle or your candle triangle work for that, to keep me out of that loop and to hold that love?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Great. And all written up, and Becky should be having that out. If she didn't have it out today, she definitely will have it out tomorrow.
Oh, fantastic.
Yep.
Thank you.
And putting yourself in that. And also another thing, Sylvia, is like I keep on seeing you having like a mirror in your heart right now. And so you mirroring out, like you're a perfect pitch soul. And just really, as far as when they want to pull you in or pull you down, or have one I'd like not even having a conversation with this. I've been cutting people short lately, and I'm saying, you know what? I don't want to put any energy into this conversation right now because it's not love. And so it's just like returning back to love. And so, because when we're putting words behind it, we're putting our precious life force, and right now we are in this whole rebirthing process where every single thing counts, every single thing matters, and so we're returning to love. So let's talk about the miracles. Let's talk about the love. Let's talk about if you're needing nurturing, here, I'll give you some nurturing. I'll give you some loving, but we're loving ourselves back into that God space. So holding that out in your heart space is huge because it mirrors that right down to the kids, and then you're putting a line and saying, meet me up here in the fifth elevator because I'm not going down into your third elevator of 3D separation and chaos, because that makes me modulate my energy, turn down my light force, and that's then I'm in the middle of this, and that's part of what we're waking up out of, this illusion of separation.
Mm-hmm. What validation. Thank you very much, Gary.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
Thank you, Sylvia.
You're welcome.
Hey, babe.
Yeah.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Have a good evening.
You too. Bye.
All right. Bye-bye.
Yeah, I thought that was just perfect, actually, for tonight's topic. I want to throw out our numbers here again. It's 1-877-876-5227. Or in Canada as well as the U.S., you can both use that. In North America, 1-888-815-9756. That's the U.S. and Canadian number. And talking about sacred contracts, often called also soul contracts, that sort of thing, you know, especially when two people, or it could be groups even, that when the other person gives you such a charge, they create a charge with you, exactly as Sylvia described of her two daughters. And I thought that was really, just really apropos. It was perfect for tonight's conversation. And Carrie, I love the law of allowing.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Because I think in the case, you know, that we can talk about the triangle technique as well with the candles, but the law of allowing right there, just allowing those two daughters to live out their contract and accept that.
Right.
It would be perfect for that sort of thing. But did you want to address a little bit about the soul contracts we have with people?
We have, think of that again, that there's absolutely no accident that, even to keep it simple, think of a table where we're writing in where what sex we're going to be as far as an expression, what temple we're going to choose, a male or female temple, where we're going to live, the people, what lesson are we going to be experiencing during this incarnation. And so as we go out of as Source as one big ball of unified field of a whole that only knows love, and think of that we go out like a tube. That's why I call everything as a tube. So we're a tube of love that comes down, and then we electromagnetically form families, and so we come in to, and we have contracts with these families as far as remembering to see how we're going to be expressed and see if we're going back to love, and reminding each other that our love is our own natural state. And so the people, especially in this incarnation in particular, the people that we have as children, the people that we have as partners, the people that we have as friends, family members, all of that, we've really chosen ones that we have done all things to, as far as we've had the highest of lifetimes, as far as wonderful things where we were total reflections of each other and remembering that enlightened state, and also we had everything in between where we were on either sides of the fence, and we were have been in war where we were on, again, the other sides of the fence where we stabbed each other. So knowing that we have done everything, this is where we're complete. It's like by this time in our evolutionary process, we've had thousands and thousands and thousands of incarnations here. We have done and experienced everything. Now it's time to complete these contracts in the sense of, again, returning to love. So knowing that we have contracts with these people and understanding what is the theme here, because the themes even tend to go as far as with family. So we could have family themes of betrayal. We could have themes of feeling abandoned and betrayed, and so, or that that we're not good enough, worthiness, and so that goes into entitlement issues. And so it also goes down to where I see the one of the original splits, the two original splits that go under, that separate us, the illusion of separation is right to life issues and fear of annihilation. So under right to life, we have all self-worth, abandoned, orphaned, all of those kind of expressions of, again, further separation. As we are clearing our contracts up, as we are, again, saying, reminding ourselves who our lineage is, what our birthright is, going back to original blueprints, we have an accelerated spirit is here to work with these people, especially those that we have a residual charge with, because when we direct the energy and to take the charge off of those people and really take this time from now to January to think about those people around your circle or a certain group of people that just instantly rub you the wrong way. Let's say cheap people that could be frugal or the word cheap or whatever, that like frugal people just drive you just crazy. And so think about that. What about their energy just curls your skin or what makes you reactive? And so really go back to, as far as looking at it like an observer. Okay, what about their behavior is makes me react or recoil? And so it's like really looking at it. And so all of it, you can find your, you could go back and say, you know what, it could be that there's a part of you that holds a love off for yourself, and so you're cheap for yourself as far as receiving, and so they're a reflection of that. It could be something that you can judge, or so it, that's where I really like that whole sacred mirrors, the divine matrix with Greg Braden, because they really, when you get those five mirrors down, all of it goes back to compassion. All of it goes back to that they, that person could reflect your worst nightmare. So their person's cheapness or their anger or their rage brings us to a disempowering place. All of it brings us back to that heart space. All of us gets to go back into past circumstances don't matter. The current circumstances don't matter. Only our state of being matters right now, our present state of being, because that's creating the future us, and the future us, and the 5 minute from now us, the hour from now us, the 5 years from now us. Every single thought, deed, and word, we are creating our future reality. So now more than ever are we being called to stop and get off the couch. There's no more couch potato. We're being called to take action, and everyone can do this, and they don't have to go down the streets with big swords of light if they don't want to. Every time that we turn and look inside of ourselves and really go through our circles and go through our histories, our quote histories, to see what charges us. Challenge yourself with that. Go through and say, all right, you know what, this person, I really noticed that this really can try to irk me or kind of pull me off my center. Okay, what is it? And even if you can't, you could just say, I don't even know what it is. It just is something in their energy field that makes nails on my chalkboard. Okay, that's not love. And so even if it's like something that you can't identify with it, that their energy, that you could have a charge that's a past life hangover. Again, we're in the now time where we're being called to have null and void, because if we hold something to one person, you cannot, there's a part of us that cannot be completion, because that's not part of who we are. And part of that feeds separation versus wholeness and the return to holiness and wholeness, because all of that other part is part of the split mind. And so the split mind is part of the fear, of part of the insane mind, actually, in Course in Miracles, right? They call it the insane mind. And so we're returning to the whole mind. We're turning to the whole mind, the holiness mind, and also I've been feeling more than ever, especially August, the top of my midline of my brain, I see it weaving together. I've been watching this since March of 2007, but I've been feeling it in myself, in my physical body, of seeing the bridges where we have the two lobes of our brain. I'm just feeling this whole bridge going back and forth, and so much activity and action going on to it, especially when I'm sleeping. But during the day, it's just constantly being, think of rewired. And so as it's getting rewired, it's literally creating neural pathways and dendrites in my physical body to hold less of that separation, because the two lobes of the brain represent separation or the split mind. And so we're going back to whole mind. So then I find, as this is happening to me, I also am at the same time in experiencing where when I feel myself get pulled off of not that love state, I don't like, it doesn't feel comfortable to me. So it's how fast can I get myself back into that love state. So understanding that we've all come to contracts, but also this is where we're understanding that let's get into our own sacred contract, as far as we've had contracts with people, but what is our sacred contract? And all of our sacred contract is return to love. And so that's pretty simple. It's all of our contracts. What all roads lead to home, and that includes everybody's, whatever, if Jehovah Witness or the I Am or whatever is your road, if that's your path that gives you the most joy, and that's the road that returns, that makes your energy that become big and high, all roads are correct roads. There's not right or wrong. For here, thousands and thousands of years, we've been, you know, saying this is the right one, this is the wrong one, this path is my way, so is the way. All ways are the way because we're all aspects of Source, so we're all a path, is what Bashar reminds us. I love that. Every single one of us is a unique path because we're a unique tube of Source that comes out of Source first for expression. So the more we remind ourselves that, the more we get out of our themes, the more we get out of our themes, the more we have that space to return to love, the more we could turn to love, then we could really start this new earth that we are birthing right now.
You know, that's absolutely beautiful, if I have to say so myself. And you know, I love that bit about where every single one of us is a path, because when you say, for instance, our job is simply return to love because that's where we came from, that's what we truly are anyway. And if you think of it literally as a tube that goes out, and each one of us, let's pretend for sake of description here, in the physical body, the densest part of who we are, picture a tube and that body's at the end of it. Well, that tube returns back to love. And so you could think of that tube as a path, and it's just a return. That's, every single person has their own path, and so every single path is absolutely a path that leads to it. Every single one of them is, and that's absolutely great.
Absolutely.
I love it. Carrie, we're going to pick this up again. We'll continue talking about it when we've got the time here. But we have another caller I'd like to go to, and it's Nancy from Washington State. Hi, Nancy. Welcome to the Carrie O'Connor Show. Nancy, are you with us? Well, I believe Nancy is there, but as soon as Nancy is ready, she can just start talking. But we'll continue on. And we're talking about here sacred contracts. And the other thing I wanted to talk about, Carrie, was I just love the law of allowing, because that's exactly what I have been trying to do myself. Say in the last month or so, it's just come to me that regardless of the outcome, and that's how I basically have been dealing with this political scenario that's going on currently, and I believe there's a debate tonight. So if we don't have all these callers, I understand they might be preoccupied watching this big debate, right? With Obama and McCain. But no matter who wins this, you know, I mean, again, because this could give me a charge, so I have this sacred contract here, and to just allow it and accept it, and the allowing, just implicit within the law of allowing is acceptance. And giving up your belief in how the outcome must be and what is right for that outcome. You know, and just allowing each person to be, and whatever happens, happens. And so I think that's a great technique. And I hope all of our listeners can try to practice the law of allowing in all of their relationships and see what happens.
Absolutely.
You know, and see what happens.
Because when we do that, and it allows us to then go back into our space of going back to return to love. And what we're really starting to learn, Dave, is that we, for eons and eons and eons, we were not shown unconditional love. There's avatars, Jesus, Buddha, Krishna, that have come by and talked about unconditional love, but there's a part where we really have not been shown love with unconditions. I love you if, I love you when, I love you if you get a good grade, bad grades, I love it. Love unconditional. And people that were from generations of people that have stayed together for the children.
Right.
And so the real children were the wounded parents. The children acting as wounded parents. And so those were the real children stay together, because if they really were honoring the children, they wouldn't really be showing that they would be seeing things differently.
Exactly.
So this is not
Carrie,
judgment.
Yeah, we're going to try to go back to Nancy. Nancy, are you with us now?
Hello? Hello?
Hi, Nancy.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Oh, okay. Got a little worried there. I was wondering if you can tell me what my soul contract is with my husband, who I've been with for 37 years.
Okay.
I love this question.
Yeah, soul contract. Part of that is where it's, think of, well, where we're just going off as far as to, part of all of our soul contracts is to, is the you complete me, you complement me versus you complete me, right? And so think of finding the, and I'm also seeing as far as part of compassion, and also, Nancy, I'm seeing part of I'm seeing you extending your hand out to your husband as far as, like, the teacher bridger and helping him up to get a different view as far as a view of life, a different perspective. In shamanism, they call it a assemblage point. And there's also a part that he comes in as far as giving you anchoring in, and think of your energy as having, like, the bird who flies and sees the big picture, and he gives you this, like, anchoring, like the wood or the ground to fly down. And also there's times in different situations where you do the opposite. He goes up, and then you go down. So I'm seeing this whole ball of a lot of air and ground. So there's a lot of, I'm sure if you did astrological things, you'd find a lot of air and ground elements within your element, within your chart. And so, and all of that air and ground is we need the ground to have flight to take off into the air, and we can't keep on flying up in the air. We need to ground down at times. So part of that, but also I heard as far as like compassion, as far as going back to the compassion. But the biggest thing that your think of your husband as far as going back to family generational patterns, as far as that your husband came in to help strengthen your right side, which actually goes back to our soul contracts go back to as far as our family lineage. So think of that. A lot of times is what Dave and I were going back onto is that we came from you complete me generations, and so we tend to put our husbands on the right side to complete that right side of our energy field, our male side, and that's what we were taught for generations and generations, and we tend to put the females on the left side. So the left side is being able to receive, take in nurturing, love, even dealing with emotions, and the right side of the energy is being able to have a solid foundation, to be able to go out, step out to the world, to be able to be assert your needs above anybody else's. It's about your needs first. Self-care is not selfish. And so that's what we're going and breaking away from as far as saying, you know what, I'm having you stand in front of me, and that we're completing each other and complement each other, and that we for generations have shown, even think of as far as our marriage traditions, where they're walking, you know, we walk down the aisle singly to then turn around after we're married to have us walk down the aisle as side by side. And so it's just kind of really interesting as far as how much symbolic language there is that we walk down whole and one, and they're walking there, and then as soon as we get married, then we walk down side by side. And so there's a part of there's the complete the couple together. And so there's a part of think of returning to the wholeness part, that there's a part that he was there to really help as far as your exercising your right side out, and also as far as I'm seeing putting a microphone up to your voice as far as really going into self-care is not selfish, because your natural colors tend to be natural teacher, helper, bridger. And so, and also part of him is to deal with emotions, where I'm seeing him kind of doggy paddling or feeling uncomfortable when it comes with dealing with emotions and issues of the heart, especially female and female issues, as far as like I'm seeing him saying like, oh, I don't know how to deal with the female stuff. And so so that's where you guys are. We're all male and female energy. So the more that we're bridging that, those sides of our body, going back even to those sides, the left, right, and the right side of the brain, that's what I'm seeing you guys complement with each other, too. That he could be more left-brained and you're more right-brained. And so you're showing him more of the right brain and he's showing you more of the left brain. All of it goes back to balance, and all of it goes back to, again, completion and wholeness. And so there's a part that, have you guys been married 36 years?
Yes.
Okay. That's a long time. And so think of that part of your also a forerunner energy, because I keep on seeing bridger, as far as holding that energy of you complete me to you complement me, and also that you guys are at that whole other level, especially feeling the energies of the last year of 207 of the divine partnership, where we're being called to step into divine partnership, and that first divine partnership is to go into ourselves first and really expand out within ourselves. So it brings us into looking at our partners and bring them up to a whole other level. And so there's a part where I'm seeing you putting your right hand out to him and being able to lift him up to have a different view. And so so you guys really obviously have done it for 36 years, and so that's a wonderful thing. And I'm also feeling new beginnings with you with this. Have you been feeling this, especially the last year and a half?
Yeah.
Yeah, as far as, and also I'm hearing shaky grounds. Is he feeling pretty kind of shaky at times?
Yes.
Okay, and so think of that. Part of that is where think of where he wants to say, but Nancy, I'm used to you staying on my left side. What are you doing? Say, go in front of me. I want you on my left side. Yeah, you're there to deal with it. I keep on hearing him say the woman stuff, the lady stuff. And so part of that is like the little boy in him. It's not the lady stuff. It's his feminine energy. So this is where we're really understanding what it means to be complete and to hold those sides, the right side and left side of our energy. So as it merges, it becomes much more androgynous, like our angel self, our source self, it does not have male or female energy. It's more of an androgynous energy. So I'm seeing that, again, that you're holding his hand out, welcoming up to the fifth elevator, and part of him is saying, I feel really shaky here, and that's where you're showing him the air. Part of him is saying, I'm here on the ground. I want to feel the ground, but the ground feels safe, and I'm not safe either. So what am I supposed to be doing here? And so all of that is having him be able to expand his right side, left side of his energy out, and that left side is ability to take in and receive prana, life force, love. And then when he really feels that and opens up his left side, then he'll feel that energy going into his heart. He'll feel that completion. He'll feel that energy within himself to feel that he is complete on all levels, and that, again, that you complement each other. So I'm seeing that you're slow and steady. You know how to deal with him. It's like, you know, you read him like a book, Nancy. Mm-hmm. And it's beyond that you guys have been married for 36 years. That you, when I see men are from Mars, women from Venus, you really do know when to step in. You know when to back out. And so that's part of the contract that you did complete beautifully, as far as being able to, sometimes people need processing time, right? And that goes back to the art of allowing. And so there's a part of one of the most difficult times that we could have with a partner is the art of allowing, is as they are getting used to holding the left side of their energy field, that you know that you can't go fill it in like he wants to, because that's modulating your energy, that's closing down, where it allows him to exercise the left side of his energy, so he could say, by God, I got it, I've done it, I've entered in that emotional body, that 2 to 4 feet in around me, and I can do it, I can swim through this. And so that's a huge deal for him as part of completion of your guys' contract. So slow and steady, I keep on hearing, is slow and steady, wins the race like the turtle and the hare. I'd also work with turtle medicine with him, because turtle is all about earth and earth energy. Turtle in indigenous tribes is very, very significant. So working with turtle medicine, bringing it in for both of you, will give you like the energy of further expanding your right side, and that's about the male energy. That's the energy that goes out to the world. And also it gives him that the earth energy is all about Mother Earth and connecting with Mother Earth and feeling the nurturing and the support from Mother Earth, and the issue is of mothering, nurturing, and it's all about going back to balance. It's huge.
Oh, yeah, because I was really getting worried with him, because he's not understanding my spiritual growth.
Yes, I understand that. He's really, you know what it comes down to, Nancy, he's terrified. He's scared. So he's saying, Nancy, and he keeps on showing me the top of the wedding cake. This is what you promised me. This is what you promised me. What the heck are you doing changing the deal? You're not supposed to change the deal. And actually, part of your soul contract is you indeed were to wake up to hear your soul and say, I am going up to this fifth dimensional energy because this is part of what we're all here for, including your husband. And even if he does it through the fear part, or again, you're taking his hand and saying, I'm up here, but part of my agreement, part of our contract is that I will reach a point where I will be tuned into the changes and the shifts of the earth, and I will be going up to the fifth elevator. I will be extending my hand down. You will be have the illusion of being stuck in the third elevator, and you will be shaky, and you will be want to pull me down into the third elevator. Part of my soul agreement with myself is that I have to stand strong in my right side of my energy and expand my right energy and replace where I put you, and to get to know the male side of myself, and I will be taking aspects of me on that left side, and so that is where we allow the expansion of you complement me instead of you complete me. And so this is where you're holding the strong, where part of the it's more of the child in him that is holding up the fixtures of those plastic dolls on top of a wedding cake that is plastic dolls, you know what I mean? And this is what, you know, what are you doing? This is supposed to be why you're shaking the boat, but that's more of his child talking. So again, the more that you come from that heart space and not modulate your energy, because it's he's part of them, but he's fear. So, and I keep on getting turtle medicine, working with turtle medicine. So are you familiar with how to work with medicine of an animal?
No.
David, all right, when they are bringing in, they have, like, you could bring Archangel Michael, who is all about protection and cutting cords. Gabrielle is a messenger for good news. Ariel helps with life purpose. So think of when they hand us animals, it helps us first further connect to the earth and to allow us to ground more and to expand more. Turtle is huge as far as the shell of the turtle represents the earth. And so if you were to go on the internet and look up turtle medicine, you'll Ted Andrews has a whole book on about animal speak. And so animals come in with properties, and properties are those of, like, the angels. We could get used to the archangels as far as, again, Archangel Michael brings in protection. Ariel is life purpose, and Raphael healing. So animals come in with the same gifts. And so the more when our guides and our family members are giving us the medicine, it means the properties of, and again, turtle is about the balance. So I'm seeing both of you will get different properties of it, but working with it, as far as with the relationship, think of putting the relationship grid inside of an upside down turtle shell, and that's, think of the turtle represents the Mother Earth. The shell in particular represents Mother Earth, and so that will help your husband, like, ground into the feminine energy. And just, you'll read about turtle medicine, it'll make sense to you.
Okay.
But you'll understand where your properties are. And again, slow and steady, again, wins the race. So that's you're continuing to go up and hold that fifth dimensional energy. And part of your journey is not getting pulled down to that third elevator because of thinking that it's, like, loyal or any of that kind of thing. What's loyal is for you to stay up into the fifth dimension because you're showing him your pure heart signature, and that goes beyond any of his ego three-dimensional separation fears. And so it goes back to where actions speak louder than words, and our pure pitch heart song speaks louder than anything. It's like one pitch of that vibrates a person's energy, and it opens up their heart big time.
Okay. Thank you.
Absolutely.
So much. God bless you.
You're welcome, Nancy. Bless you too, and God bless you for doing what you're doing, because I know a lot of people right now my husband didn't want me to exchange at all, down to the point where he said I have to choose between, you know, God or him, and so I obviously chose God. So the God aspect of Rick. So
right.
God bless you for doing what you're doing.
Thank you. That was only knowing him for 3 weeks.
Wow.
Yeah. So,
wow. Talk about.
I knew it had to be. That's all I could say.
Absolutely.
I did something very unordinary for me.
Right.
Wow.
Well, that's what I'm seeing. A magnetic pull, and especially with the air elements and the water elements. If you go to, there's a website called ALADE.com, and they give free birth reports, and so it shows you where your moon is and his moon. Our moon is our emotional part. A lot of times we know our sun signs, our birthdays, but we are so much more than just our sun sign. We are our moons. It's how we deal with our emotions, and also our mom's lineage. Our sun sign is connection to dad, and we work on our sun sign, our birthday, our whole life. Our north node is our life purpose. Our south node is past life gifts, and so, and our ascendant is the energy we put out to the world. Our Venus is how we love. Mercury is how we think. And so looking at those aspects, and also seeing where you'll be able to see where I was talking about a lot of air and ground, and so the different astrological things have different elements, and all of this is, we constantly seek homeostasis. So I'm seeing that there was a part that drew you close together because he, think of him as, he allowed, or your signature, your heart signature, felt the wind beneath your wings, and it was a part of his energy that you felt that air, that wind. So he allowed you to expand up, or not allowed, but he supported that, and that was like music to your heart, and it was a part that you applied, like did a grounding on his left side. So it was a balance for both. You'll see how much the elements come in, and then we really start having fun as far as seeing ourselves as multidimensional beings.
Oh. Righto. Carrie and Nancy, we're at the end of our hour. I want to thank you so much, Nancy. That was a fabulous, fabulous reading, and thanks for sharing with us.
Thank you.
Yes,
bye-bye.
Absolutely. Bye-bye.
Yeah. Good night. And if you'd like to contact Carrie for a private reading or about a workshop, Her number is 860-887-1201. And please visit her website at carrieoconnor.com for more information. Thanks again for being a great audience tonight. And please join us again every Tuesday evening from 10 to 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Broadcast live on BBS Talk Radio for another hour of The Carrie O'Connor Show. For Carrie, I'm Dave. Until next week, may you align with the divine.